How many folks just want a blessing today? Amen. Amen. God knows what our needs are. But you got to be specific. Say, hey, God, I need this. Even though he knows it, he will come along and will bless you indeed. Let's look to the Lord today. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And the fact that we can stand before your people is nothing short of a blessing. That you would use someone like me to declare the truth of Jesus Christ. As we come today, may we decrease and may you increase. Save someone today, encourage another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. We're just so grateful to see you today and certainly welcome all of our friends. I think we all call them Facebook friends. They're in Florida and Georgia. I'm going to add in new states, Alabama, all 50 states. God bless you and welcome, and know that we appreciate you today. Well, there's a word from the Lord that comes from Galatians 5, 25 and 26. And it reads, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. I want to continue today in what really has become a series. It didn't start out that way, but from the overall theme, got to give it up. And today we're going to talk about jealousy and envy. William Shakespeare was a great poet, English poet, playwright, actor, widely regarded as one of the greatest writers than the English language. Back in 1603, Shakespeare, in one of his most celebrated works, says something that I think will help us today. It was the work, the tragedy of Othello. It is a work that explores racism, it explores betrayal, revenge, love, and forgiveness. It's within that play and that work that we hear the reference made to the green-eyed monster, a term that gives meaning to jealousy. The evil Iago warns his friend Othello. He says, oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on. Even in 2019, the green-eyed monster has reared its ugly head. Even during the midst of the Lenten season, the green-eyed monster yet exists. But long before Shakespeare, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Galatia. He writes to them to encourage them. I'm always amazed by Paul. He writes the better part of the New Testament. He would go place to place and start churches. He had a second job, which was a tent maker. But Paul always had something to write to encourage. Why? People would write Paul. Say, Paul, since you left, here's what's been going on. And Paul so often in the epistles would write back from a prison. He was not worried about himself, but he was concerned about God's people. That should be every pastor's heart, is how are the people? How are you doing? How have you been? And Paul is that kind of person. He talks about jealousy in this letter, among so many other things. When Paul left the church at Galatia, it was in pretty good shape. He thought things were going well, but Paul feared that after a while and by, because they were people, that there was bound to be something going on in the place. He feared that the people would change. And we all change. It's like that lizard chameleon can change colors to match its surroundings. Or we know people who change their personality depending on where they are and who they are around. So Paul writes this letter as encouragement, but he also writes it as a warning. And we need both. We need encouragement and we need words of correction and warnings. Now, nowadays you do that and folk may not receive it well. Amen? They'll tell you to get out of their business. But you know, back in the day, folk would say stuff and you had to receive it. Paul has said, I love you so much, I want to address this issue. And he writes really inclusively. He's not saying y'all. He's saying us. He's saying we. He's saying each other. And isn't it great that you'll receive something from someone, a word of encouragement and warning and correction, if they don't sound like they're too high and mighty? If they tell you, I've been right where you are, or I'm not perfect, then we'll receive it. Paul is saying, now, I used to be a rascal, but what I've detected, what I've found out, is that there's some things going on in the camp that I want to address. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about things to give up. And I realized that you say, well, Reverend, I don't know what part you're on now, but you missed me. No, I didn't, because I didn't miss me. There's some things that I don't have in the list that we need to work on. I could preach for the next 4 or 5 years on what to give up, and I would still not maybe be on your street. But we've talked about the importance of giving up control, that, you know, let it go. There's some things we think we can control. We're all that. But when we surrender those things and surrender those people to the Lord, he knows what to do. And then we talked about being able to give up bad company. Give up folk who are just not good. They might be in your posse, but they're just not good for you. Anybody know anybody like that? Maybe it was you. Maybe it was me. Just bad influence. And it may not be cold turkey, but some folk you have to say, you know what, I'm tied up right now. And make sure you're not telling a story. You're tied up right now. But being able to give up certain relationships. And then we talked last week about pride. And these things that I share with you, I always make sure I try and live myself. You know, pride cometh before the fall. And that we have to make sure that we're not prideful. But this morning we're going to talk about jealousy and envy. You know, jealousy, envy is what's something that we want that belongs to someone else. It's to covet. I wish I had that. You know, the Bible says don't covet your neighbor's house. Don't covet your neighbor's wife or servant or ox or donkey. Saying, I wish that was me. Yeah, but what God has for you is for you. Amen. You don't know people's testimony. You don't know what they have to go through to get what they've gotten. And you say, I wish that was me. No, maybe you don't wish that. That's envy. Jealousy is the fear that something which we possess will be taken away by someone else. We'll just fight because we're just jealous. Yeah. Now, I always mess up when I go back to the Motown days, but there was a song called A Jealous Kind of Fella, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, some of y'all old schoolers know about that. Amen? But I'd like to throw, even the deacon says Marvin Gaye. I don't know the year. I don't know how high it went on the billboard. But we must come to realize that jealousy, I believe, is a choice that ought to lead to a change and eventually to a controlled life. Verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, the person of God. And when Paul shares this, it is a reminder for who they are. In other words, he identifies them as people who are living by the Spirit, that we're following the commandments of God, that we're doing that which God has called us to do. But he says, since We live by the Spirit. Because we live by the Spirit. After all, by reason of, in fact, inasmuch, seeing that we live by the Spirit, we are required then to do what? To stay in step with the Spirit. Here's what I love about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do what other folk can't do. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Can I take a 10-second poll? How many persons have been convicted by the Holy Spirit? Amen? I mean, folk not to tell you anything, it just didn't feel right. Amen? And when you know better, do better. And when you don't know any better, you say, well, I didn't know. But we're very smart people. And when we know we're doing something that's outside of the Bible, outside the teachings of Jesus Christ, we don't feel right. We don't feel comfortable doing it. And so Paul is saying, when it comes to this jealousy piece and being envious, I know, I've heard. And we have to stay in step with the Spirit of God. But by choice, in choosing jealousy, we have gotten out of step, missed a step, out of touch, thus giving jealousy free reign. Yeah, jealousy is a spirit. Amen? Amen. You can't be happy for nobody else. You just say, uh-huh, that's nice. Ever had anybody you know like that, that just can't be happy for you? They got to compare why, you know, I already got that. You know, that's not new. And so sometimes we just don't tell folk. Just don't tell all your business. Used to tell my oldest daughter that. And she would tell everything. We're going on a trip. I said, you told everybody. Don't tell all the business. Yeah, not that anybody was jealous, but, you know, there were kids, they were rambunctious. They'd say, I'm just going to tell. I said, shh. Did I say the oldest daughter? I'm going to get in trouble for that. You know, I came across a column, which I'll tell now, that when it came to jealousy, I read this column, and there was a piece that I think reaffirms what I'm trying to say. And this person says, you've been told that jealousy is an emotion, that it's something beyond your control. But again, jealousy is a choice. And if you change the way you think, jealousy can go away. You can celebrate people. You can be happy for them. Amen. Yeah, don't come blow the candles out. Just say, thank God. Praise God. And so because it is a spirit, it is a sin. The Bible says in Romans 6, 1 and 2, what shall we say then? He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. In other words, if jealousy is in your makeup today, you can give jealousy a pass and tell jealousy today, bye. Beyond the 40 days, I'm going to just celebrate folk. Amen? Yeah. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to go online and talk about them. But just be happy. Can you just be happy for someone else? Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But Paul detected there was a spirit of jealousy. A choice. But to get past jealousy, we got to be able to change. Amen. And he writes, let us not be conceited. And there again, Paul says us. Because Paul was conceited. Paul, when his name was Saul, would go after Christians to try and bring them in for a bounty. He didn't care for Christians. He knows what it means to be conceited. That is to have a high opinion of yourself. To think you're all of that. But don't get me wrong. I want you to feel good about yourself. Amen? If I learned anything in psychology 101, I think it was 101, it was, I got a C, but it was self-concept. It's how you feel about yourself. And so there's a difference in being conceited and liking who you are. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Because when you're conceited, it's just that. It's all about you. But when you love yourself, and that's so important, you know who's made you. You ought to feel good about yourself. Amen? You ought to give yourself a hand today because of who God has made you. But When you start becoming conceited and jealous and envious, it really comes down to all about me, myself, and I. Yeah. Got to get mine while I can. Uh-huh. You know, I think about basketball in my neighborhood. It was always that person who owned the basketball. And as long as he was playing, it was all good. But once they didn't get picked, he was like, well, I got to go. Are you kidding me? Man, we got to be. No. Why? He was conceited and jealous. I didn't own a ball. But that was the person who always just said, you know, I'm going to spoil the party. It's all about me. And we live in a jealous and conceited society. But God wants to change our attitude. You know, we talk often about living in a world that we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. That is trying to compare ourselves all the time to someone else. Isn't it great just to be who you are? I mean, it's good to be you, isn't it? Praise God. Now, I think there's another show. Is it called Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Yeah. I've never seen that, but I heard about it. Amen. But this sense of being able to change and allow the Lord God to move us ahead. Pledge today to give up jealousy, to give up being envious. And sometimes you don't even know it. You said something and you didn't realize you just cut that person by what you said. Amen? Let's be kind and Christian and loving in this day and age. So this sense of having jealousy to be a choice, knowing that we can change. And that's a good part about this Christian life that we live. Think about who you were X number of years ago. And folk who knew you then see you now and say, oh, I saw you on Facebook. You're doing all right. Or persons may see you in person and say, and they may encourage you because of where God has brought you from. I think sometimes we forget who we used to be. Amen? Come on, church. We forget who we used to be, and we forget where God has brought us and where God has taken us. And I'm glad about that. I'm enjoying the journey. Thank God for Jesus that we are what? We are truly, truly blessed. But finally, we got to embrace the controlled life. Let us not be conceited, provoking and envying each other. Paul knew there was something not right. He's still talking about unaccepted behavior. Amen? Not someone else, but we are provoking each other, irritating folk, messing with people. Why? Because we can. But God forbid they do that to us. And we got an attitude, don't we? But thank God that when you give your life to Jesus, you're allowing him to control it, to allow him to lead and to guide you along the way. And living a life as a Christian is to live a life that stays in bound. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so often we get out of bounds. So often we step on the line. Y'all been watching basketball. See, I think he was on the line. Yeah. And sometimes we get on the line, but thank God he delivers us. Yeah. Thank God he leads us and guides us. And that can help us in getting rid of jealousy. Yes. All this is a sign, really, of being led away. And God, by way of Moses, mentions this in the books of Exodus. Jealousy in a different context. Amen? Because God had gotten word. He knew that the people were doing what they were worshiping, idol gods. In other words, they had another god before God. And there's some things that we worship. We don't mean to, but we bow down to other things and other people and other places. In this context, God is jealous. And so God is a jealous God, as Exodus talks about, because why? You've given credence to someone else. And he'll let you know it. Won't he let you know it? Amen? We know about being jealous, but God said, you know, you are worshiping other gods. You're putting other folk before me. Let me pull you up in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And so jealousy will come. Yeah. Reverend, you're not talking about me today. You got to try another one. I'm I'm not a jealous person. But jealous, you have to notice it. You have to name it. And you got to shame it. Because jealousy comes. And we have to identify it. It's all temptation. Jesus knows about that. The Bible says that Satan himself approached him just as he came from the baptismal service. And he says, you know, I know you're tired and you're weak. He said, all you got to do is just worship me. Just bow down and worship me. Everything's going to be all right. I know who you are. You're the Son of God. And you're weak and you're tired. All you got to do is just turn that rock into a stone and you got some bread. That's all you got to do. And you know if he will tempt Jesus, he will tempt us. But Jesus kept coming back with the word of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Yeah, every time you get tempted. Just keep going back with the word. Yeah, I know you're coming at me now, but let me go back. Whatever that sin is that so easily besets us. Hebrews talks about running our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But what? Putting aside that sin. We're all tempted. He was tempted, but without sin. Yield not to temptation. Well, whatever that temptation is. For what? For yielding is sin. But each victory will help you some other to win. Here's the part I like. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. The thing you thought you could not beat, he'll carry you through it. The things that are causing you late night, he'll carry you through it. The things that are disturbing you, he'll carry you. Won't he carry you through? Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no. What? He's carrying me through. And thank God for Jesus that he took and carried my sins with him when he went to the cross. He wasn't just carrying a cross. He was carrying a broken humanity on his shoulder. And he gave his life just for us. And that's what's powerful, because we don't deserve it. But thank God for Jesus. That he took some stuff. Why? The fact of the matter is, the rulers were jealous of him. That's why they wanted to kill him. They didn't like what he was doing. They couldn't stand the healings. They couldn't stand what he was doing. And they were jealous of him. But thank God, he died for the ones who were jealous. And sometimes you got to turn the other cheek in the name of Jesus. But thank God for Jesus, who gave his life just for us. Jealousy? I don't live here no more. Jealousy, you got the wrong address. Jealousy, my number has been changed. Jealousy, I got a new password. Jealousy, I refuse to bow down to you because I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today, and his name is, anybody know about Jesus? The lily of the valley. Jesus, the bright and the morning star. Jesus, the company keeper. So whatever that thing is, give it up. And know that the Lord will give you the strength to do it. Can you mark it off your list? There's another one. Oh, and that one, and that one, and that one. I'm marking it off. Got to give it up. That's the word of God today. It's already blessed. Come on, stand today all over this place. Oh, jealousy is sneaky, though. That's not what I meant. I meant it's nice, but I mean, no, I ain't. Jealousy be, that's what jealousy will do. That spirit will jump on all of us. No, I didn't mean. What did you mean? All I was saying was, just come as you are today. And the Lord will fix us. He'll do the changing and He'll do the renewing and the revising. Just come today. Yes, yes. Come. Don't worry about fixing up. Come just as you are. He'll take you. He's a fixer-upper. Everlasting. Living water. My. What a mighty God we serve. Now the world will tell you differently. It'll give you 20 things you got to do first. He doesn't work that way. As we come today, this is the most powerful time of the worship experience. Why? The Word of God has been deposited into fertile ground. It's every pastor's desire that everybody would come to Jesus. Pastors don't keep points like, oh, I got one today, or ooh. But when somebody gives their heart to Jesus Christ, it counts to heaven. Why do we come every week? So that somebody's life might be transformed and changed, and that somebody might receive Jesus Christ. What an occupation that we're out to win souls. So I come today. I don't come to judge you. I don't know your story, but I know this, that Jesus will save you from all of your sins. Not some of them, but all of them. And all you have to do is receive him into your heart. That's the arrangement. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you're protected and you're safe. And today I declare what has been declared for thousands of years, that same Jesus. As you bow your heads, I want to pray with you. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. I pray even now, God, that you might touch that heart, that you might work on the heart of that person who has never, ever confessed you as Christ, who has never said, Jesus, I'm lost and I need a Savior. That person, God, may they call out to you today, and may you heal them and repair them and bring them in to become recipients of life everlasting. We ask it all now in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God a praise today. As we transition from this place, I want to just pray for you. It doesn't have to be an altar prayer, but I was saying earlier that I could spend eternity on a list. Got to give it up, part 3094. Each of us come today with something that we're having a hard time giving up. Why? Because we like it. It's a part of us. It's just who we are. You can't change me. Whatever that thing is, I want you to bring it to mind even now. And as you close your eyes today, I want to pray with you. Because you can't do it in your own power. Why? Otherwise, you would have done it. I would have done it. We would have just said, got that. It doesn't work that way. We need Jesus in our lives to do it. So where you stand today, close your eyes and bow your heads and bring that thing that you're struggling with giving up today. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. You know what it is. I pray in the name of Jesus that we, your people, might go to you because you're able to remove it. Not temporary, but forever. God, I don't want to call names because I'll put myself in there. But whatever the thing is that we're struggling with, the very first thing that came to mind, not the thing that we dressed up as number two, but the very thing that we thought of, give your people faith to overcome it today. And you can do it just like that. God, we pray it in faith. We declare it in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said amen. And amen. Come on, give God a praise today.